This episode of Enough is brought to you by Squarespace, everything you need to create an amazing website. Squarespace, with their new version 6, have kept all the amazing features that you know and love, like their rock-solid hosting, their incredible iOS and Android apps that allow you to check your stats from wherever you are. But what they've also done, as well as keeping all of the many, 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 many lovely features and fantastic things that they have, is they've completely redesigned their templates, and they have some new fantastic templates that work with responsive web design. Everything is completely clean code, so if you're the type of person that likes to dig in, you have the ability to do that, and it's all nicely understood. They've strengthened things out like their layout engine, making it even easier for you to build Squarespace pages in seconds. They really are the perfect place for any blog, portfolio, or basically any website that you want to create. They have things like Markdown posting by default now, so you can write natively in Markdown for all of the stuff that you post to your site. I really do love Squarespace. I think that you will love them too, especially their new version 6. So I want to give you a 2-week free trial so you can go and try it out yourself. Go to squarespace.com/70decibels to sign up and enter the code 70decibels7, that's 70DECIBELS7 at checkout, and you'll get 10% off any of your first Squarespace purchases. Thank you very much to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of Enough.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
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 I almost feel like that, remember that Budweiser commercial that went viral for
What's Up One?
Yeah, What's Up?
Yeah, that one.
Oh my gosh.
That was around the world, like, just a States thing. We had those commercials.
Well, and that was before Twitter, right? Or even before Facebook.
For something to go viral like that then was, I'm going to say YouTube was around, but not in the way
that we have it.
Yeah, YouTube
was around, and that was part of it.
But it's not like how it is now. Like, I don't think it had really, 2006 was the first commercial, and mm-hmm. to my memory, 2006 was when YouTube sold to Google.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it still wasn't sort of like not how it is now. Yeah, 9th of October 2006.
Yeah.
It was actually both in October. Well, no, actually, early 2006 was the Budweiser commercial.
Okay.
And then late 2006, Google was acquired YouTube.
But I mean, you think back to like some of the early days of some of these things, like Where's the Beef? Wendy's Where's the Beef promotion. Did that ever hit the UK at all?
The term did, but we didn't really have Wendy's.
Right. Well, I mean, that was a Wendy's commercial with these three old ladies, and one of them, they order these, they go to McDonald's or Burger King, but they don't label it McDonald's or Burger King. They label it, some other thing, but it's clear that they're talking about the competition, and they get served these hamburgers, and one old lady like lifts up the bun and goes, "Where's the beef?" Yeah. and that became this, kind of slogan heard around the world. And then I think eventually Ronald Reagan used it to describe like the budget that the Democrats had handed him or something like that. it just became this national phenomenon with T-shirts and the whole nine yards. Oh, well. One of these days we'll have to talk about all these. You should have a podcast just to talk about pop culture, commercials and such.
I'm thinking about something pop culture related. I wouldn't be involved. I have some people I'm talking to.
Yeah, that's a good
movies
one. I'd like to be a guest on that one. Yeah. I'd totally be a guest on that one.
I'm talking about movies and books and TV shows and stuff like that.
Well, for someone who doesn't watch TV, I sure do know a lot about pop culture. Oh, but
so we received an email.
We did. We get those from
time. We get emails. People send them in via 70decibels.com/contact.
Yes, they come into our inboxes, which are the first things we see whenever we launch any email client ever invented.
We go back there again.
No.
So it was at Hasbro on Twitter. He sent in HAZ, as you would say, Z as I would say, BRO on Twitter.
You're bilingual.
I am. I'm a transatlantic. And he just wanted to know, really, because, you know, we've spoken about, I mean, we do How Bare Is Your Air, we've done the iPhone home screen stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really, and Mr. Bro has said that we don't really talk too much about where our iPads fit in on that.
Yeah, no, we haven't.
And
surprisingly so.
I have a little addendum.
Okay.
To add, I would like to talk about where my Nexus 7 fits in.
Oh, so yeah, an yeah. Because you've been experimenting with that for the Bionic podcast.
Yeah, I have, and the Nexus 7 is becoming increasingly more important in my setup. So Pat, where you know, rather than talk about all of the apps that you use, etc.
That's boring.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people know what, you know. It's basically the universal versions of the iPhone apps that we use.
Pretty much.
tell me, like, so you have a MacBook Air, you have your iPhone, you know, your MacBook Air is what you use, well, what people would assume you use primarily at home. The iPhone's what you use primarily on the go. Where does your iPad fit for you in that system?
Well, interestingly enough, I would say that the MacBook Air gets about maybe 50-50 percentage usage at home.
With the
iPad.
Interesting.
And the reason being is that there are certain apps that I enjoy using on the iPad more, despite the fact that those apps or a way to do those things may exist on the MacBook Air.
For a lot of people, OmniFocus is a classic example of that.
Yeah, there's one. There's a big one. OmniFocus is killer on the iPad versus the desktop app. And there's been some talk about Omni working on a more iPad-like experience on the desktop, but that has not come yet. And it's really conflicting to me, right? Because that's just one of two cases, and I'll discuss the other one in a second, where apps that I've used for a long time, I mean, since they were released on the desktop, I have come to use now primarily on the iPad, both from Omni and both because the iPad versions, I feel, are that much better and more fun to use. The other one is Omni Outliner. For instance, I track all of my writing income that I make, and I should say I use Omni Outliner for a variety of things and have for years beyond just a basic outlining app. But like I said, one of the things I use it for is the sort of things that other people might use a spreadsheet for. But since I'm not a big fan of spreadsheets, in fact, I kind of hate them. And that my brain just doesn't work that way, but my brain very much works in outline mode. Oh, it's perfect for that. So yeah, I track all my writing income using Omni Outliner on the iPad. And that's the only place that document exists.
So you have certain tasks, important tasks, that you only undertake on that device.
Yes. Writing too. I really enjoy writing in using plain text for iPad is what I wrote my book Enough in, is what I am largely writing my next book in, though I'm also using Typewriter in the browser, typewriter.com, that's typewriter, and I just have that open in a tab in Safari, and a good chunk of my next work will have been at least drafted in there.
I'm going to assume that you do not use a Bluetooth keyboard.
No, I use the on-screen keyboard.
Yeah.
And I am just as fast. And as a matter of fact, I'm just as fast, or maybe not just as fast. Maybe I would say, let's just say 90% as fast.
What most people don't know is that in late 2008, Patrick had his fingers surgically changed, altered to use the touchscreens more effectively.
No,
Patrick has additional abilities to the rest of us.
No, it's just because, like a lot of things, I use my disadvantages as advantages. I turn them around. And in this case, I'm a two-finger typist. I've never learned how to touch type. And because I've never learned how to touch type, I've gotten very used to just using my two fingers and really having a good sense of travel distance. And so once I use a keyboard for even just a couple of minutes and kind of get a feel for the travel distance, I can fly on anything. I don't care how big or small the keyboard is. I just need to spend a few minutes with it, getting a sense of the travel distance between the various keys. I mean, to the point where I don't even necessarily have to look at what I'm, look at the keyboard as I'm typing. I can type pretty well without looking at the keyboard with just the two fingers, just because I have a sense of where everything is in relation to other things. Although that takes some time. That takes probably a few weeks of using a keyboard before it's like, okay, I don't have to look at the keyboard much anymore. I mean, there's just two examples. But I think ultimately, one shouldn't make such a purchase. One shouldn't make such decisions of like, oh, I've got an 11-inch ear and I think I want to get an iPad 2 or, or anything, unless you've thought through what is its purpose? What am I going to use this for? What are the sorts of things that I can do and perhaps even do better on this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't answer those questions before the purchase, you may find that it does just become one of these other things that's neat to have and neat to show people, but just sits around and does nothing. And so when I originally got the iPad, I was planning on it becoming kind of my main machine. This was before the 11-inch Air came out, right? And then when the 11-inch Air came out, it wasn't like I sat there and thought to myself, oh, well, now that the 11-inch Air is out, I have no need for this iPad. I really put some thought into it and said, okay, what are the sorts of things the Air would be better at having as an option than just having the iPad and the old black MacBook that I was using? And so the questions of enough should come into play there as well. It's just what I'm going to say. What about you, Michael?
So my iPad is like for a lot of things, it's like a second monitor when I'm at home. So it constantly runs Tweetbot. I don't use an app on my Mac. Tweetbot for Mac is fine, but it doesn't have iCloud Sync yet because it can't be in the store because it's in the alpha version. So I always have my MacBook Air and I have my iPad running Tweetbot to the side. It's how I consume the majority of RSS when I'm at home. At home, my iPad takes a lot of duties for media, especially. It's my TV. And any TV or programs I watch on the iPad.
Interesting.
Yeah, even really? Though I have a 23-inch Samsung TV in the same room, but I prefer to watch stuff on my iPad.
Is that because you have sane and liberal viewing laws in your home country and a really well-done app that allows you to do such?
I buy some stuff in iTunes.
Okay.
We have Netflix. And all of our TV networks, like terrestrial TV networks, offer free catch-up services.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was talking about. Yeah.
So we have BBC iPlayer, ITV Player, and 4OD. And there are also web services that allow you to legally watch our what we call Freeview channels, which are our sort of free-to-air digital channels. You can watch them on the iPad live.
Yeah.
So if I mainly I'm watching shows that I buy from iTunes, like MythBusters.
Nice.
Stuff like that. So that's what I'm going for at the moment. And I'm going to start on Breaking Bad on Netflix once I'm finished with that. So that's how I consume that sort of stuff. As I say, I basically do, when I'm home, pretty much the only application, the only device that I tweet from is pretty much the iPad. I use Reader on the iPad to catch up my RSS news, and then I will use that when I'm using Reader, I will use that to collate some stuff, some notes and things for shows. I have previously been reading comics on the device.
Yeah, and not anymore?
No, it's now I read comics on the Nexus 7.
Oh, okay. Now we're going to talk about that new little toy of yours.
We'll get to that in a second.
Oh, okay, all right.
So for me, I don't do a lot of content creation on the iPad. Anything that I create on the iPad, you typically do not see. So that might be ad copy, show notes, like for myself, so to outline a show, not the actual show notes that go live on the site. I create all of that stuff on my iPad. The things that I create, I could not do on my iPad easily.
Okay. So
podcasts, even
despite GarageBand for iPad and things like.
You can't really get a good enough microphone to work on the iPad, and even if it did, I wouldn't want to, because you know I can't record a Skype call. It's, you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work, and I wouldn't want to do it. I would be making it difficult and getting a worse product at the end. I do some writing, you know, the occasional blog post I may start on the iPad, but mainly I'm doing that on the MacBook Air. So the Nexus 7 has entered my life recently, and 7-inch Android tablet running an ice cream sandwich. I'm using it for a bunch of things, really. I'm playing a lot of games on it. I really like the 7-inch form factor for gaming. But mainly, I've been reading comics. The display, the screen is very good. It's just below Retina. But the work that Comixology, which is an application store that I use, the work that they've done to create a like high definition comic books, it still makes them show excellently on the Nexus 7. And what I love the most is the screen size is fine. Like, I can read everything without needing to zoom in, but it's the weight and the size. You know, I can just sit and hold it in one hand comfortably.
I wanted to talk about that a little bit, because that's one thing I've noticed with the Kindle Fire that I bought for my wife that she never touches. so I'm the one who uses it.
Yeah.
Is that it? That is a, you know, say what you want about the form factor and about, you know, the Fire as a device or whatever, but that size is just, it's really nice to hold.
Yep. I agree. And it's why I'm pretty much set that Apple are going to do a 7 to 8 inch.
Yeah, and when they do, that's going to be one I'm going to have to kind of start to talk myself out of, right? Like, a lot of these things I have to talk myself into, but there are some things like that that I'm going to have to talk myself out of. I'm going to have to really, really make a case for myself as to why I might need it.
I didn't think that I would want it until I started using the Nexus 7. Yeah. But as well, I mean, you know, and we talk about this a lot on Bionic, which is my Android-focused show with Matt Alexander. Android is getting really good. And Jelly Bean, which is the recent version that runs on this device, is very good. It's very good. It's good to use. It's fun to use. The apps are getting and consistently getting better. A lot, you know, they're pretty much at par with the iPhone. That, you know, there are things that you can do on the Android device you simply cannot do on iOS. Gmail is excellent on Android. You know, I'm really enjoying it, and the 7-inch form factor is entering, it's becoming at the moment. It might just be because it's new, but I'm not so sure. The Nexus device is the one that I go for first. I've picked that up over the iPad at the moment.
Okay.
Because I'm more excited by it.
So, outside of the excitement, I mean, or I should say, do you think that's mainly because of the excitement and the newness of it and that sort of thing?
I had thought that, but when I picked up my Galaxy S3, which is that's the phone that I'm using, I wasn't picking that up over the iPhone.
Yeah.
And the form factor and the weight is such a big thing for me. And, the iPad is what I'm still watching TV on because it's a bigger screen. But,
And that's great for that sort of thing. But I would agree with you that just for reading and being able to hold it in one hand. Now, I still have the iPad 1. I have not upgraded to the 2 or the 3. Some sort of
barren land. I don't know why you torture yourself so.
It's enough for me. And to be honest, I actually kind of... I now have a certain sense of nostalgia about it in the same way that I would love to have an iPhone 1.
Yeah, I would love to have an iPhone 1.
And that out of all the designs, that's my favorite still. Me
too. But I wouldn't want to use it every day. You're using the iPad every day.
The iPad 1 works great. I don't know what the problem is.
Well, I'm having performance problems with my iPad 3, and I feel like it's getting too slow now, so I don't...
Really?
Yeah, things happen. Whenever it comes close to there being a new OS release, it just seems like they flip a switch somewhere and things start going weird.
Things slow down to a crawl, yeah. And maybe they don't care enough about the 1 anymore to do that, especially since they're not going to support the 1 with iOS 6.
So they're like, we'll let you use it.
Yeah, so they'll just continue to let me use it as it is, and as it is, I think it's perfectly fine. It's plenty fast enough for me, and especially for the sorts of things I use it for, which are the apps I previously mentioned. Obviously, the iPad for me is like an email machine. I mean, I love, like if I have a lot of emails crank through, I'm pulling up the iPad, seriously. Because I can sit in that email client and just go boom, 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 boom through emails and sorting them and, throwing them into archives and things like that. I mean, I can really whip through a lot of email with the iPad much more quickly than I can with the MacBook Air or even with my iPhone. There's something about that experience that's just right for me in email. There are other things that like Flipboard and things like that I really enjoy kind of using. I find that Flipboard is actually my favorite way to go through my Tumblr screen, Tumblr stream. And just being able to kind of sit back and view content with Flipboard, that's great. I'm trying to think of some other things, obviously OmniFocus is great. Photos, I love it. If I'm going to look at photos or share photos with people or whatnot, I'll quickly take out the iPad over the iPhone or, throwing up iPhoto. God forbid I have to launch iPhoto for anything. It just takes so long to launch and load up photos, and then I find the interface completely bereft of any sort of navigational sense whatsoever.
There are people that say that once you get used to it, it's a very good app, but do have to kind of get used to it.
Yeah, no. And you're talking about iPhoto on the iPad. Yeah. No, I'm not even talking about it. I'm talking about iPhoto on the Mac. Oh. Don't even get me started on iPhoto on the iPad. Yeah. And don't get me started because I didn't actually purchase it. All it took for me was one look at that mess and say, oh, no, nope, that's not for me. That's not how I use my iPad. I'm more than happy to just open up my photos and flip through them. I don't need to mess around with touching them up or anything like that. Of course, the iPad is one of those things that I can hand to Beatrix, and Beatrix can go to town. She can do whatever she wants to do, which usually consists of launching Netflix and playing her shows or playing her the few games I have loaded on there for her. But, you know, the iPad basically becomes the TV, especially because we've been spending weekends at our other house, and we don't have a working TV there. So we just have, you know, the iPad is how she watches her shows in the morning and does what she needs to do. The iPad still just, it gets a lot of use. For writing, I'd say about 50% of everything I'm writing on the iPad, with the other split between the other 50% split between my MacBook Air and my iPhone. And as I've stated before, every blog post I write first on the iPhone. My book, the newsletter, all of that stuff, I am writing primarily on the iPad. I'd say 95% has been written on the iPad.
Interesting. Very interesting. Before we finish.
Yeah.
Big announcement.
Ooh, really?
Huge. So anybody that listens to the Bro Show will have heard this already, but just in case you have not heard it yet, when this episode is released, tomorrow, so the 1st of August, the Bro Show is no more. It's dead.
What?
Cast away.
What?
But it's being replaced.
I love the Bro Show. There wouldn't be an enough if there wasn't a Bro Show.
There wouldn't be a 70 decibels without the Bro Show.
But what the heck?
We want to change things up. Now, there should be a post on the blog, which you'll be able to link to, Pat, on the 70 decibels blog.
Okay.
It was the first show that me and Terrence did together. It's the first show that sprung all of this. All of the relationships we built came from the Bro Show, all the other shows, everything. You know, we wouldn't be where we are now without it. But I feel we've outgrown it. So we've recorded 118 episodes. I feel that we've outgrown the name a little. I feel we've outgrown the branding and what the show is focused on.
Okay.
So the new show is going to be called Command Space.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like the shortcut. So CMD, and then we've got the plus symbol space.
Yeah.
You should be able to find it.
That's how one gets to Safari, unless they've been Spotlight.
Exactly.
Command Space.
The clue's in the name. So with Command Space, it's going to be a tech news talk show. That's how we're focusing it. With more emphasis on the talk show. So Command Space, we're putting a spotlight on our guests, Pat.
We're gonna make, I like this.
Thank you. We're going to make the show a lot more guest focused, and we will still talk about, like, if there's a massive tech story, so Mountain Lion comes out, right?
Yeah,
which is a big story.
Yeah,
we will talk about that with the guests,
and you'll have the guest on to talk about that.
Well, that might be one of the things that we talk about. So, like, okay. You know how we do it now? Like, we have the little interview section, and then we talk about news.
Yeah.
I fear that I don't want to do just another tech news show.
Mm.
You know, that we have other shows on the network now that cover tech news in their bubble.
I mean, everybody on their 5x5 has a tech news show.
Exactly. So right. I want to make it a little bit different. I want to make it more like the late night talk shows. Right? So we're going to be increasing the amount of time that we talk with our guests about them and stuff that they're doing. And, you know, if there's something big that happens, we'll talk about it. I don't want to be scrounging the RSS anymore to find stories. I don't feel that's building the best out of the people that we have on and the things we can talk about. So, like, I have ideas for shows. I have some people want to bring on. Like, Sean Blanc did this excellent post a little while ago now called 50 Top Tips to Be a Blogger or something like that, web blog.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get him on and talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want necessarily things to be timely. I want to get Ben Brooks on to talk about his paywall.
Okay.
And I want to be a little controversial as well. Ask some harder-hitting questions. You know, so we're gonna.
Oh, Ben Brooks would love that.
That's yeah. You know, I feel like we've got friends in the industry now, and I want to talk to them about these things. I want to get their opinions on different things. Maybe do some workflow stuff, right? But episode one has a massive guest, huge. I'm so excited for this. So
wait.
I've not said a name.
I'm going to guess.
Okay, guess.
Margaret Thatcher.
Close.
Okay.
Similar hair.
Sigourney Weaver?
No.
So you mean Sigourney Weaver?
No. Okay. The guest on episode one of Command Space is going to be Mr. Merlin Mann, which I'm very excited about.
Get the heck out of here.
I know. How did I do it? Merlin has agreed to come on.
I don't know. You asked? And he said yes.
Well, he asked, actually.
He asked?
Yeah.
Oh, get the heck out of here.
He really enjoyed the show we did with Dan. So he got in touch. I mean, I have obviously emailed Merlin in the past to ask him to come on. But this was a long time ago.
And those emails, surprisingly, went into a folder called Dev Null.
Yeah, Merlin has a lady that looks after his emails and sends him the stuff that she knows he wants to read. So,
I need a lady.
Merlin got in touch with us, and we've been arranging it, and it's arranged. I'm very excited. We're going to be talking to Merlin about sort of the lot. We're going to talk about Merlin a bit about sort of his history in podcasting and the route that he's taken over the many different types of areas that he's covered over the last sort of 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
That's the plan anyway. Who knows where it will go?
Yeah.
And you know, it will probably be quite a long show. I'm going to get as much out of him as I can. And that's hopefully what we'll see. You know, I hope that it will set the stage really well for Command Space. If you subscribe to the Bro Show at the moment, there is a new feed that we would like you to subscribe to. The instructions will be in the blog post. If you subscribe in iTunes, it should flip over automatically, but just in case it doesn't, there's some instructions in there for you.
Okay.
And we'll be talking about it in upcoming shows. So, yeah.
Well, I'm very excited for this.
Thank you.
I'm very excited for you.
Thank you.
This sounds great. This sounds like a podcast I want to listen to.
Thank you, sir. And I appreciate you giving me the time at the end here to talk about it.
Oh, you kind of own the show.
It's your show, Pat. It's your show.
No, never. All right. Well, that's fantastic. That's really great news. And gosh, I should start wearing a tie maybe to this thing, huh?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe like a shirt and a tie?
Maybe just put some trousers on.
No, that's asking way too much.
Shirt and tie, no pants.
Exactly. I mean, because no one sees me from the waist down. I mean, that's how Carson did it for years, right?
I assume
so. I mean, you know, that's what Jon Stewart does. He doesn't wear pants underneath that desk. Has anyone ever seen him stand up? Seriously. No, you don't. Why? Because he doesn't wear pants.
There you go.
Or trousers, sorry. He wears pants.
We should wrap this up, Pat. We're digressing
way over
into no man's land. All right, man.
Well, I guess that means we'll chat later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers, my friend.